This week, on the day before the midterm elections, I learned that Stacey Abrams, who was the Democratic candidate for governor in Georgia, is a United Methodist. She's a member of Columbia Drive United Methodist Church in Decatur, Georgia. And she is also the daughter, not of just one, but of two United Methodist pastors. She's what's called a DPK, a double preacher's kid. And I learned this because on Monday, someone posted a video on Facebook that went viral of her at her home church on Sunday. And when she went to church there, her pastor apparently asked her to get up and share a few thoughts. And so someone out in the congregation just decided to video that, and then they posted it. And so she began by saying, "I'm not here to talk about politics. I'm not here to talk about the election. I'm here to worship today." She said that when her staff was planning her events for that weekend, the last weekend before the midterm elections, they were figuring out where she was going to be and when she was going to be. And she said to them, "Wait a minute, I'm going to church on Sunday morning." And they said, "Oh, that's good." So they have someone on their staff who's kind of the faith community coordinator. And they said to that person, "Where should she go?" And she said, "No, wait a minute, I'm going to church." And they said, "Oh, yeah, you're gonna go to your home church. Okay, who among us needs to go and, you know, do the advance work?" And she said, "No, you gotta understand, I'm going to church. I'm going to church because I need to pray, and I need to take communion, and I need to praise God for all that God has done and is doing, and I need to tell my brothers and my sisters, thank you. Thank you for standing with me. Thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for believing for me in these days." And at that point, she got very emotional, and I thought she wasn't going to be able to continue. But what happened is what often happens in that particular worship setting, in that the community began to sing, and they began to pray out loud and encourage her and support her and lift her up, and she was able to pull herself together and finish and praise God. So I watched this video several times just because I was so taken by her authenticity and her worship in that moment. And also because I felt like this was an expression of this proverb that our children chose for this day about kinfolks are born to share adversity. And they unpacked that for you, who the kinfolks are. These aren't just your biological family. This is this family. This family, born and reborn to share adversity. And I resonated with it because I've just heard over and over and over again how that is what people see in this place. And if you go out in the Connection Center and you look at the cards that are over there underneath the heading, "What I Love About My Church," card after card after card after card says it feels like family. This is my family. This is my chosen family. This chosen family where we know we're a family because we share this identity as beloved children of God. We share an identity of those who've chosen to be Jesus followers, born and reborn to share adversity. And you probably have stories to tell of your own about how the kinsfolk that you know in this place have shared adversity with you. It might be a story about someone coming and sitting with you in a waiting room while a loved one was in surgery. Or it may be a story about someone bringing you a meal after you lost someone important in your life. It may be the story of someone sitting with you and encouraging with you after that miscarriage, saying to you, "I know, I've been there." It might have been a Stephen minister who just walked with you through the pain of a divorce. It might be those folks who did a schedule about getting you to chemotherapy. Adversity is, sharing in adversity is sharing in our pains, our losses, our griefs, our sorrows. But I also want to say that kinsfolks also share in the joys, in the celebrations, in the new babies, in the new job, in the college scholarship, in the honors, in the new relationships, in the hopes. We have been given a great gift here in this community of faith, that this is what it feels like here, that we are a community that walks together, that is family together. We've been given a great gift, but we've been given that gift to share it, to invite others in. A few weeks ago, Tiffany Harlow, in talking about where she learned generosity, she said she learned generosity from her mother. Her mother, who was one of those people who there was always room at the table to set one or two other places for somebody who was hungry. There was always room in her house to do a pallet or unfold the couch for somebody who was going through a tough time. There was always room there. And there's always room here. And maybe you know someone who's going through a tough time. Maybe you know someone who's lonely. Maybe you know someone who is looking for family. We live in a time where so oftentimes families are distant, sometimes geographically, sometimes emotionally. People feel isolated and alone, and they're looking for the connections that are life-giving. And what might it be like for you to invite someone into this family? You know, if you've looked at the commitment cards that we have for 2019, you've noticed that we have a place on there where we're asking people to make a commitment to invite one person to something that's happening over the next 6 or 8 weeks. We've got the live nativity, we've got the Blue Christmas worship service, we've got Christmas Eve services. We've also added, I don't think this is on that card, we've added a Christmas Classics concert by our own Anton Mortisov. Which will be fabulous. And those are all things that are easy to invite someone to. And maybe you've thought about who that's going to be. And you brought that with you today as you're going to make a commitment. If you know who that is, you were given a rock by the children as you came in. We want to invite you to write that name or those names on that rock. There are Sharpies in the seatbacks in front of you. And at the end of the worship service, we're going to ask everybody to bring their rocks and put them in this container as a visible sign to us of that commitment that we've made. But maybe you're hearing this challenge that I'm offering you and you're saying, I don't know who to invite. I have people say that to me. I don't know who to invite. And so maybe you're here in this place today and you're worried about that, or you're worried about how do I do that, and I want to offer to you some specific ways you can do that. One is social media is an easy way to invite people. We've been creating events on our Facebook page for Vista Ridge, and if you are connected to that, then they show up in your newsfeed, and when they show up in your newsfeed, all you got to do is share it. That puts it on your page, and other people see that. That's a really low-key way to invite people. But you can also go and invite people specifically, and they specifically get an invitation from you to that particular event. But I want to tell you, for our last Reverend, I decided to do a private Facebook message to about a dozen people that I knew would be fed by Reverend. And so I sent them a link, and I sent them a note saying, I'd love for you to come to this. Come and go to this with me. That's a way to invite people, especially if you're someone who's on social media. But there may also be somebody that you've noticed, maybe somebody new in your office or new in your school. And you may not even know that whether they're a churchy kind of person. But you know, the live nativity, that's kind of a low-key way to invite people because people want to hear that story at Christmas. Well, let me tell you, people will be blessed by Anton Mortisov on December the 9th. That will be an extraordinary thing to invite people to. And that's a sort of, let me give you a way to do that, okay? We're going to practice this, okay? Hi, Brian. You fill in the blank. Hi. Hi. Hey, there's this cool concert. Yeah. I'd like to invite you to go with me. I'll pick you up. It'll be good music. You want to go? That's easy, right? There, you've got a whole sentence for it. Yeah, right? Stop. So that's an easy way to do that. You may still not be sure about who that person would be. So the rock that you've got there, I want to invite you to put a question mark on it. And to be prayerful as we move through this worship service and beyond, that God will reveal to you who that person might be. And it may not be for this season. It may be sometime later on that that person comes across your path. We've put an audacious challenge, goal out there for this congregation. And that is that in 2019, over 52 weeks, we would see two new faces in worship on a Sunday morning. And the only way that's going to happen is if you invite them. If you invite them. So I want to pause here in the middle here, and I want to take a moment. I want to ask you to hold your rock in your hand. And we're going to pray over these rocks, and we're going to pray over this challenge. Gracious God, you are a good God, and we are so thankful for what we know here in this place, the gift of this community where we share adversity and we share celebration. And we pray for the people that you are calling us to invite into the family, because there's room here. We pray that you will reveal who they might be to us, and that you will give us courage, you will give us words, you will give us eyes and heart to see who they are, so that they may be invited into a life-giving relationship with you. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, as all God's people say, amen.